So if you're all set, I'm gonna get going.
Yep, let's get on there.
Awesome. Today is May 3rd, 2021. The time is currently 2:03 p.m. I am here with Jeremy Amble for an oral histories interview regarding COVID-19. Currently, there are 32.4 million cases of COVID in the U.S., a total of 577,000 deaths in the U.S. as well. Wisconsin specifically has had 662,000 cases of the virus, with 7,567 of those cases resulting in death. Currently, however, the number of vaccine doses administered is 246 million. So there we go. Anyways, so that is my little beginning spiel. Hi, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining me. Will you start off by stating your some demographic information that we need? So your age, gender, race.
I'm 51 years old. I'm a male, white, Caucasian. I live in Barneveld, Wisconsin. So that's kind of where I'm at. Married with 4 children.
Okay. Awesome. Have you always lived in Barneveld?
Yes, I've lived here my entire life, yeah.
Okay. What was it like growing up in Barneveld?
A small rural community. A lot of my friends and families were from farming backgrounds, and which have now changed. But it was nice, just kind of, you know, before social media, before all that stuff. So you played with your friends more if you can get together, and a lot of outside work and just a lot of outside activities.
That's fun. Yeah, I love Barneveld whenever I go to your house. And you live just down the street from the house that you grew up in, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay. What are the primary things that you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, like your job? I have extracurricular activities written down, but obviously that's for like a school-age person.
Well, the biggest thing, I do the Barneveld Shopper, which is a town community paper. So that comes out every other week, so I'm kind of the... I don't know, the do-it-all, the graphics and the setting up advertising and the invoicing and all the stuff that goes along with it. It's nothing too overly demanding because it's an every other week paper for a small town, but that's something that I kind of do daily, just checking in and emails, responding to those and setting up ads, and putting the paper together. Just kind of enjoy spending time with family that's home right now because of COVID, which may that be a later question, but
you're good.
Yeah, and then I don't know, I guess it's just kind of, you know, the daily stuff,
right?
Getting up most of the day and just enjoying the weather and the outdoor living that we are able to have here now.
Awesome. Yes. So you mentioned that you grew up outdoors, kind of. Have you always had, like, kind of an interest in agriculture and farming?
Yes, yep. I grew up with a farming, you know, dairy farming background with my father and mother. And so, yes, I was really involved with the dairy farming, and that's what I wanted to do before I was injured in a car accident. So that was my main thing, was to be a farmer.
Right.
And so, yeah, I always enjoyed that. I always loved the nature in a way, and then, of course, you know, a better way to be living outdoors and farming, you know?
Correct. So that sort of leads me into my next question, which is, do you mind sharing a little bit about your accident? Like what happened, the results and how it impacted your life?
Yeah, I was 21 years old, and it was actually the anniversary of 30 years is coming up on May 25th of 1991. I was injured in a car accident. I was by myself, so thank God no one was with me that was hurt also, or potentially worse. Driving home early in the morning, and my right front tire blew out, overcompensated, and kind of crossed the road, and I think that I jumped out. Memories, I mean, I don't remember clearly, but I must have, because I was pretty close to the road. That was kind of a last memory thing, was reaching for the door handle for some reason. But the tire rolled about 6-7 times, so maybe that was a blessing in disguise. I mean, sure, I have a spinal cord injury, but, you know, if I stayed in the car with no seatbelt on, who knows what would happen, you know, maybe dead. Hard to say, you know, what if it is, you know, but So that's when that happened. So that's, like I said, been 30 years already. So my level injury is a C4-5 spinal cord injury, which is pretty much a pretty high level. C2-3 would be probably I'm going to be reliant on a ventilator. So luckily I was a little lower than that. Yeah. So I'll have to rely on, you know, mechanical means to stay alive.
Right.
Yep. So anyways, I guess through the years, you learn how to do a lot of different things in a different way. That's kind of where I'm at. But,
absolutely.
Always learning, always doing something different.
That's so, I'm so glad that you were willing to share that. I think it's an inspiring story. And do you have any challenges that come up in life when you have a spinal cord injury that those who don't have one might not realize, like any challenges that you've encountered that you're like, wow.
Well, I guess, yeah, accessibility is the number one, you know. I mean, you just can't go to all your friends' houses because, you know, two or three steps.
Right.
You know, to get in the house is always, you know, a little something to get through. I mean, I carry ramps and stuff with, but that's kind of something that people don't think about all the time, like, oh, shoot, you know. Then, of course, just with the medical stuff, I have to worry constantly about pressure sores from sitting on a chair all day long, mm-hmm. which I want to be up and sitting around because, or sitting in my chair because, you know, obviously I want to do things and be mm-hmm. stuff. That's always something they got to worry about. It's always an issue with a lot of people with, that, you know, live their lives using a wheelchair. Anything else, it's, you know, I don't want to say common cold because I do all right with a common cold. But, you know, you get sick, maybe a little, you know, if we're going to be talking about COVID, you get a little thing like that where something maybe will hit me a little harder.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that my lung capacity is maybe 50%, you know, 60% less than more, you know, running around, before my accident. So, you know, you gotta worry about little stuff like that. But, you know, it's always in the back of my mind. I mean, I don't dwell on it, but it's there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I remember your daughter had mentioned to me that you can't yell. And I was like, I never even thought about that. That like, you don't have the capability to yell because you don't have that lung capacity.
Yeah.
I would have never thought.
Cause my diaphragm isn't there to get that extra oomph out, you know, to make myself really known, you know.
Well, you can't ever yell at your kids then.
Yeah, well, I do when they get they know when I'm upset.
So moving on, you're kind of an entrepreneur. Or I would describe you as kind of an entrepreneur. What kind of small business do you own? I think you kind of went into that.
You know, there's a lot of different things through the years because I do like, I keep changing things, I guess, as far as, you know, there's always a certain interest. But right now we're into, we do making shirts, graphic design for shirts and able to, cut and, press them at home. So that's a lot of fun because I love, which is something I've always loved is the, creativity of stuff. I've loved that since I was in school with art classes and everything else. So that's the kind of number one here now. You know, I've done the photography, which is fun with creativity and stuff. So I've, kind of dabbled in that in the past too. So, it's, you know, a lot of little things that, kind of deals with creativity, you know, so I mean, that's, you know, artistic and fun stuff to do, graphic design.
And your business is called Everlasting Impressions. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's correct.
All right.
So yeah, I do different variety of stuff, a lot of personalized things like with glass blocks, with lights, shirts, signboards.
I'm gonna grab mine because I think it's cool to show. I just got this. You made this one for me.
Yeah, yay.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I don't know. I think you have an eye for it for sure. So I'm gonna transition now to the COVID questions. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts on it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, you start seeing on TV like everybody else because, like, what the heck is this? And, you know, everybody's kind of in the, you know, watching TV, of course, to find out what the heck was going to be happening going on with our, you didn't realize it was going to be going on with our world or, you know, how great it was going to affect us, you know? So You know, that was kind of a big thing. And then, of course, my wife worked in healthcare and all the information they were receiving about, you know, shutting down clinics and you know, kind of everybody staying at home to work. And then as you see, things are getting shut down as it has, how drastic of closing restaurants, bars, and public places. And it's just amazing that that's happening in 2021 or 2020 at that time.
Right.
You know, it's like you kind of get maybe scared about, geez, you're scared to go outside, you know, it's like a movie, like an apocalypse. So, you know, don't get next to someone. You may get COVID and, you know, it's going to be the end of you. And so it's kind of, was a little scary because I know it's like myself, having the, you know, diminished lung capacity and stuff, and it's kind of stressful. Of, hey, gosh, if I get this stuff, you know, I've gotten a few bad colds where it's, I've had to go to the, you know, go to the doctor just to, you know, get done maybe if it's a, if something that can be treated, you know, as far as a antibiotic or something. So, I mean, it's kind of like, ooh, I don't want to be getting this when you start seeing a TV and giving me all the numbers of the cases and the death tolls, the after effects that started coming out. So it was a very scary time.
It was scary. I agree with you on that one. I think you kind of touched on this as well, but what issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, just, you know, if a person does get COVID, what's the long-term effects? Because we still are never going to know until things happen. It's just like the chicken pox way back when that was a common thing in my age and before. And now those get older, people are getting shingles, and that's the after effect years down the road of very painful and awful.
Right.
You know, something happened to that. So, I mean, hopefully COVID isn't as bad, but you're kind of starting to see people that, you know, you hear people that are getting a little secondary and effects from it. So I mean, that's kind of some worrisome. So, man, just,
I agree.
You know, just the uncertainty, that scary part of things you worry about down the road and how long we're going to have to deal with this. It's going to be like, you know, our flu shots every fall. Is it going to be the same thing or what?
I agree with you. It's all kind of a matter of what's going on in the world and how are we going to solve this problem? Yeah. I think a lot of confusion too at first. Did COVID specifically affect your small business, like what you did with Everlasting Impressions? Did it make an impact on that?
Not really, because I was selling stuff online. So,
okay.
If anything, it kind of maybe boosted a little bit because I was making some nursing ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we're in this together.
Yeah.
A couple of them dentist ones and some nursing ones. And that kind of, you know, I had a really good outcome in selling some of those. And and then I was able to still, like in the middle, probably the middle to end of last summer, I was able to go to the farmer's market and do some farm. I would kind of support farmers' shirts where I was donating $3 a shirt to our local food pantry. So that kind of, no, that was kind of a good thing, which I want to do this summer again and just kind of maybe expand and do some other just kind of fun, you know, different things. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, so I mean, it didn't create the effect just because, like I said, it was a lot of online anyway, so it wasn't a brick and mortar.
Right. That was my next question. I wanted you to discuss what you did with They Farm So We Can Eat, that campaign, not campaign,
yeah.
But that.
Yeah, it kind of was. Yeah, just this. You know, the farmers are all taking, everybody's taking a hit. The farmers, this is kind of like they're, you know, coming from farming and always keeping up. Farmers have always been a up and down market, regardless if it's beef or selling their beef for meat or for dairy or for the cheese and for whatever. It's always been an up and down market where, I mean, 3 years ago, you were getting the same price that you were back in 1980 for the price of milk that you produce. So it's kind of, it's all based on supply and demand and whoever dictates. It's ridiculous. And, you know, this day and age where one tractor costs over $150,000 when my parents bought the farm for $40,000 back in 1973. Just kind of puts a little, you know, buying a farm versus buying a tractor, you know, 50 years later. Unbelievable, you know?
I agree. I never really thought about the effect that this had on farmers until I met you and your family.
Yeah.
I just sort of thought, like, you know, farmers are always going to have a job because they provide what we need to eat.
Yeah.
it's so dependent upon the supply and demand chain, the economy, and stuff like that. And I actually had absolutely no idea that that tied together. So I'm really glad.
Yeah, it's something that you run your own business that you have, and you have no say on what your end product or your product is worth. I mean, you know, like I said, getting paid the same prices in the 1980, literally. I mean, they're getting paid, got down to be $10 per 100 pounds of milk. That's $1 a pound for milk, which, you know, in year 2018, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of money to put a feed into a cow and all your electric and all the expenses go with in here. That's still happening. So.
Exactly. And then there's also issues with, like, governments want you to plant more corn, or they're going to pay you a specific amount to plant this amount of corn. And that ties into it as well. I'm not totally well versed on that, but I know it exists.
Yeah, it does. They want you to do one or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it seems like it's, yeah.
So do you know how, I think you kind of discussed this already, but how has COVID-19 affected the employment of people that you know? So I was talking about farmers, obviously you're
working with RN. Renee's a registered nurse, so she was just got to work from home because of the COVID, because she shared an office with three other coworkers, and of course with the spacing and everything else. And it sounds like this might be a forever thing now with working from home, which, you know, for me, that's not the worst thing. You know, that's driving to work, worrying about traveling the winter roads. And, you know, I think that they're going to find that the hospitals and stuff don't need as many clinics per se for, you know, people that, and she doesn't have to see patients every day, so that's the thing. You know, when they have patients come in that she wants to see, she can go still do that and just, you know, make arrangements to, you know, when the patient comes in. So, then of course with the schooling, with the homeschooling of the kids, it's been kind of a nice year because, having the kids home, I don't know, little house on the prairie maybe, kind of everybody's home and living in Kublaya and, you know,
That's kind of cool.
So I mean, and then of course you got some relatives that, you know, like my brother, one lost his job, because he was in food service. He was a cook at a restaurant. He was doing his whole life working in food restaurant business, and lost his job because then the restaurant ended up shut down permanently. So you see how that happens. But then, you know, I mean, the government, they threw the $600 plus over unemployment, which is either good or bad. Good for the short term, but I think it's bad for the long term.
I agree.
Some people get a little used to that money.
Yeah.
That, you know, making more than they were, but
right.
I don't know. 5 years from now, we'll look back and we'll worry about it. So.
So you kind of touched on this as well, which is, how has COVID affected you and your family's day-to-day activities? You were talking about how now your wife stays home and does.
Well, like I said, just going from last spring when this all happened, you know, of course we stayed home pretty much every single day throughout the whole spring and summer, you know, grocery shop. And I don't think I left the house literally the first few months do anything because, you know, there's uncertainty of everything. You know, we still get groceries, but, you know, we did the drive up grocery, you know, pickups and, until they're screwing the heck out of that up. They're screwing that up so bad where you get home or you pick up your groceries and you end up 2 or 3 bags short. So then Renee just started going in and getting groceries and stuff. So, but it was, it was very enjoyable to spend time at home during the summer and enjoying our porch and the nice weather and just, you know, not having to be running someplace is really nice.
Yeah, we were able to go fishing too. That was fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The fish was awesome. Yeah.
Fish, and then you have your pet ducks, and
yeah,
did you get the ducklings in,
you know, I think when they came in June, did they come in June, I think, yeah,
I don't remember, but those,
yeah, I think they kind of came in June.
Yeah. So then I was gonna ask you, what have you and your family or friends done for recreation during COVID? I know that you now are an expert smoker,
I got into smoking here just last couple months. Yeah, smoking meat. Love the smoking the meat. Yeah.
Did you start with a filing cabinet? Like you made
I started out with a DIY filing cabinets. But after the second and third use, it wasn't working out as good. So I broke down and bought an electric smoker. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we just did another batch of pulled pork. So that tastes really good.
I'm sure.
Yeah. My obsession is real, though. two or three Facebook pages with smoking groups. And, you know, seeing all these foods that other people are making. It's kind of fun. Yeah,
I love that you're so into that. I think it's funny. But you did so good. Like, when I had some of it, it was really good. So, any other hobbies that you, like, were, like, really into during quarantine?
Well, we did the fishing, like, we kind of touched. Yep. Yeah, we took the kids and fishing. I do have a setup, which I really need to get set up for myself to be able to reel in fish and things. So I gotta,
yeah.
I really gotta do that, but it's kind of just fun watching, you know, the kids fish and stuff too. Especially when if everybody can catch fish all the time, it's, you know, just watching them, you know, funny it is, everybody trying to touch a worm or take the fish off and scared, you know. Right.
Hallie wouldn't break the worms in half.
I know, yeah.
So she made me do it.
Yeah.
So I
pinch them in half, yeah.
Absolutely. No, I do remember doing that. That was so fun. I kissed my first fish that I ever caught.
There you go.
Okay, moving on. That was a good chat. What have been the biggest challenges that you've faced during the COVID-19 outbreak? Again, I think you've said this too. Anything else to add for that?
I guess the biggest, some other things, you know, kind of the division of family, friends who have different beliefs of some not believing that it's true or that it's real. I think you can go back to thanking our leadership of our country for throwing a lot of these things out. That's the big one that's really hard because, you know, some immediate family, you know, take things the wrong way or they don't take it as serious or, you know, whatever else. So I mean, that's a hard one too. Now we got to try building back them bridges or building a bridge, I guess, not building back, but just, like, you know, get to that point where, you know, let it go and it's been here or done that.
Right.
I don't know. So we're still going to work on some of that.
I had a question about that. I was going to ask if anybody that you knew personally had concerns about the vaccine or, like, chose not to get it or...
Yeah, well, Renee's got a couple of her brothers that don't believe in it because aide or ex-president didn't believe in it. And like, whatever, it's like, well, I'm just pushing for it.
Right.
So he probably got it, but, you know, just how easily, you know, I think they say the same thing, how we feel about the book. They want to say how easily a person can be swayed or believe or follow the sheep, you know, or like we're all sheep. Well, you know what, you gotta pick a side, you know?
Right.
I choose to pick the side of science and pick the side of, you know, whatever.
Do you want to inject some Lysol or some bleach? Should we do that?
Yeah, maybe shoot some of that up. That might be better for us all, but yeah. I mean, that's kind of frustrating, you know. People don't want to get it. It's like, well, get flu shot or polio. And, you know, the years when polio was way back, people did not question. You know, I'm sorry. I think it's a lot of the social media. So much stuff gets spread and rumored. You know, I mean, should we question our government and question things? Yes, there is times that we should. But when it comes to something like this, where what does this benefit the government of shutting down for a year, you know, of all this stuff, and asking you to get a flu shot to stop a worldwide pandemic of a virus, what does that benefit the government? You know, so I mean, people are so skeptical about it, but then yet, you know.
Right. Do you have any thoughts on the anti-mask movement?
Yeah, same thing. Selfish, not worrying about other people. Mm-hmm. You know, people think that their civil liberties are being stepped on, that they can't do what they want to do. It's like, well, you know, I want to analyze it. Like I think I said last night, so the people that don't want to wear masks are usually the ones that have a little illegitimate children too from not taking birth control precautions, you know? I mean, it's like they don't think outside themselves at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to infringe on that moment of whatever. And, you know, no one's going to tell me what to do. And here you are, you know. And then maybe people have gotten COVID because they didn't wear masks and it wasn't that bad. So they're like, well, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. You felt sick for a couple of days. Well, maybe granny down the street didn't feel that way and she ended up dying. You know, right. We don't think about the after effect. Maybe mm-hmm. two or three people down the road that they spread it to, you know. It's like that, what do you call it, like that cat thing, you know, like you had two to a pair of cats and 6 months later, a year later, you all got 40 cats.
Right.
You know, all that, it spreads, you know.
It does.
But, yeah, people don't think about that stuff.
I don't understand why it's so difficult to wear a mask.
No.
But, I mean.
Became a fashion trend now, anyway, so.
Right. You know? I know, I don't know if this is you too, but do you ever watch like a program on TV and you think, oh my gosh, they're too close together, or oh my gosh,
I know it. Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I know it.
And sometimes I'll see people in public without masks on and I'm like, whoa, it takes me back
yeah.
a little bit. It's like, gee, I forget what it's like to not wear masks.
I know. Look at all you. For me, you know, I mean, anybody there, all the years of not wearing a mask and 1 year wearing one, and now how our minds have set to like, oh my God, they're not wearing a mask.
I know.
Like, well, you know, all their life they didn't have to wear one. Now we're so in tune to having to wear one.
Right. I do also remember, I'm sure you do as well, when we weren't able to, like the government had asked us to not wear masks because we didn't have enough PPE for those who were in
healthcare.
And I think people are still taking, they think like, well, Fauci told us not to wear a mask in the beginning, so now
we need it.
But obviously the circumstances were different then. What were your primary sources of news during the pandemic? So were you
CNN,
Fox News?
Yeah. Television, you know, usually watch ABC.
Okay.
Then I always look at Google News, which always has the updated news from wherever, Washington Post, Yahoo, mm-hmm. New York Times, whatever. So I always read that a couple times a day. Mm-hmm. Click on Google News and see what's kind of up on that kind of stuff too. And
right.
That's kind of the primary sources.
Do you think that the government did a good job of keeping people safe during this pandemic?
Well, it's I don't say once in a lifetime because some people lived through the 1918 or whatever the first, you know, the Spanish flu, whatever. But I mean, and there's always, and I shouldn't say that because a lot of people with the other stuff that's happened through the years with polio and measles, I guess them people have gotten their immunizations just because of what that happened with that stuff. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to say probably as good as you can. You know, everything was uncertain. When you have a new virus, which has characteristics of, you know, the SARS has been out for a while, so at least they had an idea. And I think that's what's the scary part for scientists and stuff was, okay, we know what SARS can do, but now this one is doing something different. Mm-hmm. And it's not reacting to what we have for the, you know, the SARS, you know, protocols and stuff. So I don't know. I guess they probably did as good as they could. I mean, you know, minus that ex-president who threw his 2 cents out there.
I agree.
You know, I mean, him, his part is zero. They let the scientists do their work. You know, so I mean, when I say government, when our government, I guess I throw Fauci into that because he, you know, he's the head of the you know, infectious disease part.
Right.
And he tried to do as good as he could without being run out of town by Trump, you know.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe how much backlash he faced, even though he's so educated. He's such an educated guy.
But he's worked for all different political parties too for the last 40 years. So not like he's has an agenda for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just a scientist, you know, like he said, it's just common sense. You ain't got a scientist that's telling you one thing, but then Trump doesn't believe in the scientists that tell us it's global warming either. So, you know, you got a guy that's, he's really in it for the now, for how much money he can make and his family, so he don't give a crap about, you know, the rest of the world, what it's going to be in 50 years, because he'll be long gone, you know?
I know. Well, I don't really understand how science, I don't think science is biased. I think science no. like, speaks its own. And I
yeah, science is what it is.
Right, it's, you yeah. can't sway science.
It's black, or, yeah, it's black or white, you know? I mean, right. this works, this doesn't work, you know?
Exactly. So you are fully vaccinated now, right?
Yes, finally, yeah.
Yay. What was your experience like getting access to the vaccine? Was it difficult for you to get?
Yeah, I thought, you know, again, the pre-existing condition stuff would have came up a lot earlier.
Right.
But I definitely understand the healthcare and teachers and the first line, you know, I understand that that would be the first, you know, first go around, but, again, just kind of waited my turn and put my name in the three different places and was able to get in at our local Upland Hills healthcare clinics and
cool.
So yeah, but now you look at how much changes now. Now you can walk into anywhere now there, so which is good that accessibility is there now, but now less and less people are getting them. So that's kind of, you know, we still have 60% of the country to go. You know,
it's depressing that it's slowing down, but.
And I hear today, I think I heard in the news, and I don't know if that's, I don't think it's Moderna, the other,
Pfizer,
I think is gonna maybe open it up for the younger 12 to 15 year olds,
okay.
or 12 year olds and up, I think they might open that up pretty soon, so.
Well, that's
I mean, Brady Driscoll only got, to the end of the month where they can get theirs to turn 16, but if it's sooner, that'll be great, you know, and then we'll be all vaccinated.
Yeah, I look forward to that, my family all just got vaccinated too. Did you have any side effects to your vaccine?
Not a second shot. A little shoulder pain, neck pain.
Right.
I thought I was going to get a headache, just kind of tinge, but it really never came to a headache. And just a little tired, a little tiredness. Nothing non-expected, I guess, with the, it's only for a lot of people to the second one.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely would recommend it to anybody too who was thinking about getting it. The side effects are worth it. In my opinion, at least. I kind of skipped around a little bit in my questionnaire sheet, but I think you really touched on a lot of the things that I was going to ask you. I guess I'm just going to ask a couple last questions. Have you learned anything about yourself from this pandemic at all? If not, that's okay too.
Well, I learned many years ago having patience. Just from my accident, I guess. So, having patience is always an MRA. And so, didn't really need to learn that. Just, I learned how other people, either ignorance, not wanting to learn, not wanting to whatever, I've learned that you kind of learn who maybe some people are. On their selfishness of not wanting to wear masks, I think you kind of learn a divide of people. That goes with our president, kind of president divide. If you like him, then you kind of like the divide of not wearing the mask too, so, or the vaccine. And that should not even go hand in hand, but you kind of learn that, boy, some people are really followers of a scary person. It reminds you of Hitler and how these dictators become power, you know? I mean, that's a big thing. You gotta learn about what some of these people in your family and, you know, friends and, you know, what their beliefs are, or whatever else, you know? Yeah.
You think you know somebody and then you go into a global pandemic.
And I don't want to use that whole, this whole thing is to justify a friendship or a family relationship either because, you know, you enjoyed that person so much before, and then they find out that, oh, they're a Trump lover or they're not believing the vaccine. I don't want to use that as a main crutch of, oh, I'm never going to talk to them again, because up until that point, I've always enjoyed that person. It's just sometimes you just don't talk about,
right?
You know, religion, politics, and whatever else that might cause issues, you know.
Right. No, I understand. What are your hopes for the future? For this pandemic, other than I'm sure you'll
be nice that it gets done here. I think it's kind of slowing down. Hopefully it's slowing down, but like, you know, just like the scientists, doctors are warning. Mm-hmm. Usually this kind of respiratory stuff is a fall winter disease or a sick illness. So, you know, kind of buckle your belts mm-hmm. and don't get too overconfident that it's gone away. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, they're trying to promote the vaccines, especially because once fall hits, the things going, you know, so hopefully that, people are get close enough to a herd immunity or it's not going to be as, the numbers won't be as high, but mm-hmm. I'll just keep up with my vaccines and I'll keep around us hopefully and just go from there. Move on the flight and get to spend time with the places you like to spend time at.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I think overseas too, because I know Italy is still kind of going through some challenges. Hopefully, they can start getting their stuff figured out as well. Hopefully, finally, we can. I don't know if normal is necessarily the right term, because I don't know if we're ever going to really go back to normal, but back to not insanity, I would say. Yeah. Is what I'm looking forward to. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jeremy. I love talking with you. You are truly, I think you're so funny. I think you offer a really good perspective to this COVID archive. I hope people in the future can look back on this and get something from your perspective.
Yep, it'll be something when people look back, that, especially the ones that are young and mm-hmm. or not born or young or whatever else, to see that, oh boy, that happened.
Absolutely. Well, yep. I appreciate you talking with me.
Okay, well, sounds good, feeling.
Thank you. You have a wonderful rest of your day, Jeremy.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Good luck cutting and pasting.
Oh, I will. I'll send you a copy of the transcript when I'm done.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.